Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 12, Shutdown Blues.
Welcome to Color Country Politics. I'm Jenny Hendricks. And here with Jesse Harris, my co-host.
Howdy.
And we've got Mike Blake, Commissioner Mike Blake, in today. What we asked Commissioner Blake in to discuss with us today is how the federal government shutdown is affecting Iron County. Now, right before we started taping, like 15 minutes ago, we got word that there's been a deal made that is going to reopen the government until February 15th. So as we speak right now, the government is still shut down, but there probably is going to be a deal signed with some short-term funding to get us through a couple of weeks until February 15th, when they're going to have to keep negotiating stuff. But that's not what we're here to talk about. So what we wanted to ask Commissioner Blake is the government has been shut down now for the longest period of time ever.
Right.
And I think if it goes on, you know, for kind of a few days, no one really cares, no one really notices, you know, people kind of make jokes about how it's not interfering with my life at all. But as it's gone on now for almost 30 days, over 30 days?
Yeah, it's about, a little over a month, I believe.
Yeah. I've started to hear of different organizations and community support type things that are really on the verge of being in a crisis mode.
Right.
So what information do you have? What can you tell us about how the functions of Iron County are affected by the federal government shutdown?
Okay. So I think the biggest thing to understand about Iron County is we are in great financial shape. We have a significant cash reserve on hand to... You know, really the government shutdown has affected us very little in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
Should we have a long-term shutdown, or, you know, if this isn't resolved and the shutdown continues, over time we're obviously going to have some pretty serious consequences. We receive federal funding on several different levels. Where, you know, we would have to seriously look at cutting services if that funding isn't there. Because, you know, we would only be comfortable expending our cash reserves to a certain point. We're certainly not going to bankrupt the county or put the county in a position of financial struggle because of this. We would fix it before that. But mm-hmm. but potentially it could slow down or cease some pretty vital services.
What kind of services?
Probably the thing that affects us most, off the top, we house federal inmates in the Iron County Jail. We have a contract with the Department of Justice who pays us to house those inmates. It costs us, that's a real hard cost for us to feed them, clothe them, provide, you know, water and showers and electricity. It's a hard cost for us to take care of those human beings.
And plus the staff.
And the staff that is there to monitor those guys. Obviously, we cannot cut those services.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not receiving the reimbursement, we rely heavily on that because we don't have the money just to let the feds come in and house their inmates.
Right.
There has to be, you know, we have a contract for reimbursement for that.
Sure. Now, someone had mentioned maybe putting those inmates on a bus.
Yes.
If the shutdown continues and sending them to D.C.
To D.C.,
I think that's a great solution.
I think they could hang out in the congressional chambers.
Yes, I think that would be a great solution.
That may perpetuate a deal.
Yeah.
So I've met a lot of federal inmates, and some of them are unsavory.
Yeah. Send him to the speaker's office.
Right.
D.C.'s not exactly known for savory characters.
And you know, I've been to D.C. I've been in some of the of our legislators' office. I've been in Senator Hatch's office several mm-hmm. times. When you're a ranking member of the legislature, you have a nice office.
Yeah.
Plush
yeah.
couches.
Right.
I mean, a couple of guys in orange jammies, they'd be fine.
I think they'd fit right in.
On the speaker's couch.
I think that's a great idea. I like that solution.
Right.
But all kidding aside, that is a great example of something that it's not just that we're not receiving those funds, it's that we're actually having to expend resources
right.
to take care of those federal inmates at the jail.
Right. And there's several other examples of that in the county. Let's talk, for instance, in the Parowan Valley. Because of the Bryan Head fire and the mm-hmm. subsequent floods, mm-hmm. We've got a lot of property damage and flooding damage that came down and ravaged a lot of the area of Parowan
right.
A couple of summers ago. Mm-hmm. We've actually received a large amount of grant money from the Natural Resources and Conservation Services. The acronym for that is NRCS. NRCS comes in and evaluates our need to fix that and to build in a plan, you know, flood diversion and things to protect the Parowan Valley in the future. That work is ongoing and it has been ongoing. We're expending resources in manpower, heavy equipment, mm-hmm. Engineering services are all heavily involved in that, and we're paying those people. But the funding for that comes through that NRCS grant. As long as the federal government's shut down, we're not receiving that grant money.
Right.
And so it's one of those things where obviously we're going to continue to pay our operators. We're going to continue to maintain and put gas in our machinery. Mm-hmm. But we can only do that for so long. If this is a long-term shutdown, that really could hinder that project sure. and leave that valley vulnerable.
One thing that maybe we should clarify, so as the county is, you know, sort of going about the county's business still,
yes.
Are we working under the assumption that these funds that are not being received right now are going to be retroactively sent?
Yes, and I believe in talking about all of these things, these are set amounts that are contractual in nature. And so, you know, that is the contracted amount. Just because the treasurer's office isn't open and writing checks, we will still receive the full amount.
Good. Okay.
We don't believe that we will lose any money, but we need that money coming in
sure.
so that we can make our payroll.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to float it forever, right?
We don't have the resources to float. Well, for instance, this is a $17 million project.
The one in Parowan?
The one in Parowan.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
We don't have $17 million.
Isn't the county budget about 50?
Yes.
Wow, yeah. You can't just kiss a third of the budget.
No, we don't have $17 million in reserve to float flood mitigation.
That's
wow. So, yeah. So, I mean, these are fairly significant. Another... So there's a couple of programs. We have a program called PILT. And many people, that's kind of a common thing to talk about in politics. But PILT is payment in lieu of taxes. And basically what that is we receive money from the federal government because they have property in our state that we cannot collect tax on.
Yeah.
So it's a payment in lieu of tax. So, you know, Cedar Mountain is all, you know, much of it is the Dixie National Forest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we receive federal money for that because we can't collect tax on that mm-hmm. property. We receive about $3.2 million a year in PILT payment. $3.2 million goes a long way in the county to
sure.
provide services.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We cannot afford to lose that PILT money. We would be in real trouble.
Yeah,
I imagine that even though it's areas that we don't necessarily have to go and maintain, we still might need search and rescue operations out
right.
there. You know, you still need to be monitoring for any fire dangers. There's
right.
still wildlife services.
Plus, that money, I imagine, is part of the budget.
It's part of the budget. It's budgeted.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that is our money
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, that we rely on. Because of the federal lands in our county, another is SRS money.
You didn't look that one up.
I know. because I knew it. SRS money is kind of the same as PILT money. It's a little bit different. It's designated for different things, but we receive about $150,000 in SRS money, and it's kind of the same.
Sure. In a county of our size that is rural, where most of the county is not owned privately, those, the PILT and the SRS funds become really important in the budget.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, other counties, other parts of the country, especially where the vast majority of the county is privately owned.
Yeah.
There's personal property tax. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of tax levied on those real properties.
Sure.
Well, where we have the federal government, we can't tax the federal government.
Right.
And so we don't have the opportunity to bring in those funds.
Yeah.
Like another state might. Mm-hmm. And so that's why that funding is so important for us.
It is.
Imagine you're running into some communication problems now too. There's no one's going to answer the phones at BLM or Forest Service or National Parks.
Yeah. So we work really closely with, say, our local BLM office.
Mm-hmm.
We, with the new director, the southern director at the BLM, we work really closely. And there's nobody there to answer the phone.
Wow.
So along with that, there are several projects out there that have to go through federal approval, such as NEPA, which is the National Environmental Policy Act. Before we dig a hole or make a road or look to run a water pipeline, if any of that crosses any federal land, we have to have a NEPA evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it is. Whether we agree with that or not, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Well, there's nobody out there screening those NEPA evaluations. And so those projects fall further and further and further behind.
Right.
And that costs money.
Yeah. It costs developers money. It's, time and money.
Yeah. And when the government does reopen, there's going to be such a backlog in every single department because nobody has been processing.
It's like taking a week vacation at work. You're not really taking time off. You're just kicking the can down the road.
Exactly. That's the worst part about taking vacation is coming home and finding what's on your desk when you get home. It kind of erases that whole week of enjoyment that you just had.
Yeah, that's right. Just never on vacation.
With the emails and the phone calls.
That's
it takes
right.
days sometimes to return those. So if you look at a two-week process, especially with an organization like the federal government that is so buried in red tape and paperwork, that it's really going to be significant. Once it opens, it's not going to be business as usual. There is going to be a lag time.
Yeah. Now, I've seen that some of our social support organizations have kind of started to feel the pinch. How much of the funding, say, for the... it's not called the Crisis Center anymore.
Canyon Creek Services.
Canyon Creek Services, thank you. And Children's Justice Center. What portion of those are federally funded?
I believe Canyon Creek's budget is about 45% of VOCA grants, which is Victims of Crime Act grants. The Children's Justice Center, proudly as an entity of Iron County, is not funded one dime by Iron County.
Wow.
It's completely VOCA grants and some state funding and things like that. But for instance, we've got some awesome things going on with our Children's Justice Center where, over the last couple of years, we've been able to embed full-time licensed therapists within the school district.
Wow.
Those positions are paid 100% by VOCA grants through the federal government. In the last 6 months, we've been able to provide two full-time social workers, one embedded in the Cedar City Police Department and one embedded in the Iron County Sheriff's Office, to handle, to make those victim services within those departments much more complete, 100% funded by VOCA grants.
Wow.
So the potential, we have progressed leaps and bounds over the last few years in providing really comprehensive victim services. Well, if those VOCA grants go away, all of these, and it's everything's approved by the county. They're county employees. The county pays them. Their benefits are all approved by the county. Mm-hmm. But those jobs are based on those BOCA grants. If we lose those BOCA grants, we don't know that we'll necessarily be able to fund those positions.
Sure. So those people are still working right now because mm-hmm. that the funding is through Iron County.
Yes.
But if the shutdown were to continue, or if those grants were somehow not available, then the county wouldn't have the funds to continue.
The county wouldn't have the funds to perpetuate those positions long term. Mm-hmm. We may have to, I guess, lay them off or whatever term you want to
furlough.
Use. But they would go on furlough, mm-hmm. The same as federal employees.
Sure, sure.
If this is turned into a long term problem.
Those are some pretty far-reaching effects, and I guess since most people don't feel it, in their day-to-day life, they may not even realize all that's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously, to look at it on the surface, my biggest frustration, I have a lot of friends that work for the federal government.
Right.
Who are home.
Yeah.
They've been sitting home for a month. Worrying about what's stacked up on their desks,
sure.
and not receiving a paycheck.
Sure.
So, and these are family people that have mortgages and mouths to feed. I know it's been really frustrating for them.
I can only imagine. Yeah, that's, you think you've got something that is stable. I mean, right. when you work for the federal government, what could be more stable?
What could be more stable? I have a good friend who works for the Cedar City Police Department that in his former life was a plumber.
Mm.
We were visiting yesterday about, there was a group of people, and somebody says, now that the economy's back up and everybody's building, he's like, don't you wish you were a plumber? Are you thinking about going back to plumbing? And he said, no way. He says, my check shows up every 2 weeks. It's deposited in my account the day before payday. Since I've worked for Cedar City, I've never had to call them and ask them where my paycheck is.
Right, right.
He's like, you gotta be nuts if you think I'm going back to plumbing. He goes, I sold all my pipe wrenches.
Right.
But that's the same thing. Government work is always been stable, reliable.
Sure.
Good benefits and a steady paycheck.
Yeah.
Black people work for less money than maybe in the private sector.
No, and that's that's sort of the understood trade-off is, in the private sector, maybe you can make more money as a business owner working for yourself or whatever. But there are those hills and valleys that come with that territory. So
right. You'd be able to speak to that in the real estate game.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And just, kind of a tangent here, but in Iron County, a lot of our mortgage funding comes from a loan through the Department of Agriculture, USDA.
Right, right.
Those are not being funded right now. So any realtors in our area who have buyers who are getting that USDA loan, which is specific to rural areas under a certain population level, Iron County fits that. Those transactions are just on hold.
That's really bad for us because the numbers that Salt Lake Tribune reported is that as a percentage of population growth, Iron County was at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I mean, we added like 1,700 people last year.
Yeah.
And if there's no money to build the houses that we really need, I watch how housing prices have been going up even here.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
right.
not as bad as up on the Wasatch Front, but we don't build that inventory and people
right.
are going to get priced out.
Yeah. That's, and that might be an interesting, podcast all on its own because there's a lot going on in the local real estate industry, to your point, regarding housing prices and that kind of stuff. But we'll save that for another time. You've got more stuff on your list. What else is being impacted by the federal shutdown?
Those are really the big ones. The ability to work with our federal partners has really been the biggest. So we have, we talked about the BLM office, local offices like that. We can't reach out to our legislators. The legislative offices are closed. The congressman is obviously on the floor working, but his staff isn't.
Wow.
Or he may have a skeleton staff.
Sure.
But there's nobody manning the phones.
Wow.
You must miss.
Yeah.
I met with Senator Romney's Southern Utah representative just the other day, and he's like, you know, I'm here. I don't know if I'm going to get paid. you know, we're here to serve you. I'm here because this is an important service.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be here next week.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of unknowns,
yeah.
which is stressful on our family and,
sure.
and everybody. So, sure. you know, I think that everybody, I don't know, I'm probably talking out of turn here, but the people that I know that work within the federal government are all, I mean, they're itching to get back to work.
Sure.
They know that they provide an important service.
Right.
And it's frustrating to them to have their office doors just closed.
Well, I know we've had you on previously, and it was so impressive to hear about how great the relationship is between the county and all of the different federal organizations that, you know, that do have to interact with the county.
Right.
And you think about it, they're local people. Like, there are people,
right.
you know, they work for the federal government, but they live in Iron County, and they're one of us, you know, and they
sure.
want to see things move forward and want to see things be able to function, and I'm sure that they want to get back to serving.
They want to, you know, buy houses and
sure.
groceries and cars
sure.
and pay their
make their
bills.
Mortgage payment.
And,
yeah.
And we are experiencing an unprecedented positive relationship with federal government
mm-hmm.
right now
mm-hmm.
that we haven't seen really in decades.
Wow.
And I'm going to attribute that to the Trump administration.
Wow.
There's been a shift in the importance of local natural resources and state control. We have an open door. You know, we can call the Department of the Interior and talk to somebody.
Wow.
That has never happened before.
That's
you
incredible.
Know, prior to Secretary Zinke uh-huh. resigning, Secretary Zinke came here.
Yeah,
and
was cool.
And we had local, we talked about boots on the ground issues in Iron County,
yeah.
and he took notes. And we've seen some action.
That's crazy. That is very, very cool.
We have had an unprecedented, you know, this was kind of strange. We received this really vague email from the White House. It said, "Dear Commissioner Blake, your presence at the White House is requested on this date." And that was about it. And it said, you know, click on the link below. And it was like,
what,
basically,
is this a virus?
Right. So, and it's like, yeah, it's like, this is weird.
Sets off your phishing.
And so I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, it looks official. So, I clicked on it, and it opened a thing that says, okay, give us your social security number, your da 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 da.
Oh, man.
And so, I mean, we kind of are like, oh, I think it's legit.
Wow.
Anyway, so, but it was to provide for security clearance to come to the White House. And sure enough, I mean, I didn't know if we'd show up in D.C. and be turned away at the gate.
Right.
The next thing you know, I mean, we're in a room with all of our congressional delegation was there. We were able to meet with five or six different cabinet members.
Wow.
And Vice President Pence.
No kidding.
And the funny thing, they told us, we're reaching out to county government all over the country. This is, they scheduled Utah and Idaho.
Wow.
And what was kind of cool about it is Idaho did think it was a joke. And didn't respond.
No kidding.
There was like four people from Idaho showed up.
Oh my gosh.
Because they thought, well, this is a joke. So the Utah delegation, and we have a really close, you know, I have a close personal relationship with other commissioners and other elected officials all over the state.
Sure.
You know, we work together. We coordinate with lots of things. And so we all got to, you know, the email and the phone calls were going back and forth. And somebody called the White House. They says, "Oh no, this is legit." So that's
wow,
when we all clicked
okay.
on a thing.
Okay.
But Idaho never talked to each other.
That's
and so
incredible.
Like four of them showed up,
oh,
and the rest of them thought it was a hoax.
So they don't have an association of counties working like we do.
Right. They must not. Theirs must not be as effective as our, as our Utah Association of Counties. And so, but that gave
that's
us
amazing.
As a Utah delegation, we got to talk to. I mean. Secretary, whatever his name is. That's he's a former governor of Texas. He's a Secretary of Energy.
Richardson? No.
His name, first name is Rick.
Oh, Rick Perry.
Rick Perry. Yeah, we had an opportunity to talk to Secretary Perry.
Wow.
about energy issues in
That's
Utah
incredible.
And solar farms.
That's
and,
crazy.
You know, what and we have never had that access
I think that is
to
so
the federal
huge.
Government before.
That is so huge. Because anytime I've been to D.C., it is night and day. It is such a different world. It is all high rises. It is all concrete and asphalt. It
right.
is all, you know, people moving in elevators up and down. And it's just, it's a different feeling. It's a different culture. It's a different environment. Just having that ability to have those conversations and even having some of them out here, they don't know how big an acre is. They've never seen an acre. It doesn't even make sense to them. And so, you know, when you're having these huge, huge acreages taken out of of any potential use, they don't know how big that is. It doesn't make any sense to them because they all live in an apartment.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is such a huge deal, and it's such a benefit to Iron County to have our local commissioners face to face with these people, and then having some of those representatives come out here and actually see the culture, see the land, see how we live. It's
right.
a big deal.
That's where a lot of the anger, I think, comes from, is you look at public land and you think, oh, this is supposed to be mixed use, and all too often the public policy comes down to, well, sure, it's a mixed use. You could hike, you could bike, sightseeing. You're not thinking of, you know, well, is there potential for, you know, grazing or farming or, you know, film,
right.
film, you know, extraction.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of balance between those needs sometimes.
Right.
That's impressive that you were able to do that. That's
yeah.
really cool.
And it's, you know, it's not just me. It's our whole delegation.
Sure.
And we've really, you know, the Utah Association of Counties, I think it's a great organization that has come together and brought us all together.
Yeah.
And so we, and they are not always civil conversations. there are some civility issues sometimes
sure.
because there's different thoughts and a lot of a room full of person, type A personalities.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But we can always come to a consensus.
Yeah.
We've been super successful with getting information to our legislators
mm-hmm.
and to the Congress,
mm-hmm.
Especially public lands issues.
Mm-hmm.
We're extremely effective in reaching the Department of the Interior, the Department of Agriculture. And those conversations, you know, those policies don't just happen.
Right.
There's a constant communication. So you come back to the government shutdown, we've had 30 days approaching a legislative session.
Right.
That communication has not been as fluid.
Yeah.
And so that's always, you know, I'm going to be back in Washington, D.C. In about a month for the National Association of Counties Legislative Conference.
Uh-huh.
I sit on a National Steering Committee for Justice and Public Safety.
Okay.
Well, part of that, you know, while I'm there, I make it a point to meet with our congressional district, but also with, you know, I met with the Deputy Attorney General.
Wow.
Last time I was out there in a meeting with six of us.
Uh-huh.
And we're able to talk about the successes in Iron County, especially with the Children's Justice Center.
That's
and,
fabulous.
And our victim services within that, which sparked us receiving more VOCA grants.
No kidding. Wow.
I'm certainly not going to take responsibility for that, but they paid attention. They said, really? We're going to look into that.
The world turns on relationships. It really does. And to be able to have those kinds of trusting, solid relationships where people know that when the commissioners from Iron County are speaking, they're speaking truthfully and
right.
they're speaking, you know, of reality and what our real life situations are.
Right. And it's neat to build those relationships
mm-hmm.
that they continue. It's not a one-time meeting. You know, Congressman Stewart comes and, you know, we can pick up the conversation where we left off last
sure.
time. And we're familiar with each other. We have a relationship with Congressman Stewart and his staff, and they're very attentive. And,
mm-hmm.
and I pick on Congressman Stewart because he's our congressional representative
yeah.
from the 2nd District.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he's a champion
he is.
For our causes.
Yeah.
And he's the coolest guy because he comes and we sit down over at the visitor center in the conference room in jeans and and we just chat.
Yeah.
And that information directly relates back to D.C.
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty dang blessed
here.
We have some 100%. Great representatives. Some great relationships with our local federal agencies and state agencies, and any hiccup, we're almost scared that we're gonna all, you know, if we're shut down for 9 months, these relationships may not survive that. This hiccup is going to throw a cog in that.
Yeah.
So I've heard the argument thrown out there of, look at how dependent we are on federal money. Let's figure out a way to get rid of it. What practical effect would it be if the money just disappears?
It'd be devastating. I'm with you. I believe that local government can oversee their people and their land and their resources much better than the federal government. In a perfect world, we could shut down the federal government and walk away and be great. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That is not reality. Mm-hmm. You have to be realistic about that relationship. Mm-hmm. We rely, for good or bad, we rely on the federal government for roads, commerce. Mm-hmm. I mean, every aspect of our lives, as much as sometimes we hate to admit it, we're very dependent on the federal government.
One of our biggest tourist attractions is a national monument.
Monument. I receive almost daily emails from Superintendent Jeff Bradybaugh down at Zion, talking about how this is affecting Zion National Park and tourism, especially as we come up on the springtime.
Yeah.
I mean, we have almost daily communication with the superintendent of the park talking about contingencies and just in case this doesn't open, or we may be able to open the road but not the visitor center, and those are issues.
And that's not just people getting into the park; it's people who are staying here in Iron County,
who are spending money,
things. They're staying in hotels. They're visiting restaurants. I mean, that has a real impact on private business.
You bet. We sit right in the middle of five national parks. We're a hub.
Absolutely.
Our summer months are busy because of the national park. Yeah. So a prolonged government shutdown is going to be catastrophic to our restaurants and hotels.
Yeah.
I did the math, and there's actually 7 national parks within a 4-hour drive of here. If you throw in North Rim of the Grand Canyon and Great Basin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we're such a great base camp.
Right.
And I think people are starting to realize, hey, if I want a place where I can just, set up shop and then day trip and see everything instead of moving from place to place every night, this is the place.
It is the place. And it is. It would, a continued shutdown would be catastrophic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, is there anything else that we need to know about the county's interaction with the federal government?
No.
All right.
I think we've covered it. Again, we're really blessed. Recently, I'm going to throw props. I'm going to name drop just a little bit. Recently had a turnover in the southern direction. I'm not sure if I'm getting the title right, of the BLM.
Okay.
Paul Briggs, who's the acting director, is fantastic, and he's been named to that position full time. Paul Briggs is a stud in the world of the BLM. We have a personal relationship the process, the things that we're getting accomplished is unlike ever before. And say thank you to the Department of the Interior. We lobbied them pretty hard during that hiring process that we needed to keep Paul here in Iron County, and it worked.
Good.
We was on the phone with the director of the BLM and said, "This is our guy."
Good.
And he says, "Okay."
Like, wow.
I don't know if it was that simple, but we had that communication.
That's fabulous.
Amazing. I got the director to the BLM's phone number, and sometimes answers my calls.
Wow,
if you see this, Brian, answer my calls.
We're gonna send a personal copy of this right to his email, so he'll be able to watch the whole thing.
And talking about local government and fostering relationships. Brian Steed, who is the interim director of the Bureau of Land Management, and he has a big office in D.C. in the Department of Department of the Interior. Brian was a deputy county attorney here in Iron County.
Right.
We prosecuted tons of cases together and got to be good friends and have remained friends since he left Iron County. He went back to school and has had several other jobs. We've always remained friends. Well, now he's the director of the BLM. That's a fantastic relationship.
Yeah, that's cool.
To have.
That is great.
And I don't call on him very often. He's extremely busy, but but we're able to sit down and talk the nuts and bolts of Iron County, and he understands he worked in worked for Iron County.
That's amazing.
And that's been a fantastic relationship.
That's great.
And he has helped foster relationships with other people, high-ranking officials within the Department of the Interior that we can chat.
That's great.
It's been wonderful.
That's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate your insight into, all of the things that are happening inside Iron County. It's important for people to understand, like you just said, kind of the nuts and bolts of what's going on. Yeah, so we appreciate you coming.
And Iron County is in great shape. We really do have, in my opinion, good leaders who are trying to do the right thing for the right reason. We have a solid foundation financially, morally, ethically, we really are in a good place. And it's as tough as, and I hate to even call myself a politician because I hate the politics of it, but I love serving the public.
Sure.
And it's really pretty enjoyable because of the people I work with.
Yeah.
And they're a lot smarter than me, but it's such a great collaboration that we have to solve problems together and that. Not rely on, we don't have really any outliers.
Good. That's very cool.
But, we're really working together pretty well. Iron County's in good hands.
And that is so incredibly beneficial for the community, for the residents of Iron County. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate your time coming.
Well, thanks for having me.
I
love to talk about our local issues.
Good.
Get the information out there. It's
absolutely.
Good stuff.
Okay.
We're all about.
Yeah. We'll continue to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Color Country Politics, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.